Lamed Aleph. So we got the last three lines of Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Rava have a bodik le gire, Rabbi Yona bar Tachlifa. Rava would inspect an arrow and make sure there was a smooth edge, like you would check a sakin, he would check the arrow and give it to Rabbi Yona bar Tachlifa. Interesting, he has the name of Yona, you'll see why in just a second. V'shachin ba ofa, and he'd shoot a bird along the way, b'hadei deparach, while the bird was flying, he shot an arrow perfectly, and he was able to do a good shechita through shooting the arrow. That's quite impressive. So the Gemara says, how could you trust, how could you rely on such a shechita? V'dilma avid chalda, maybe perhaps he did a chalada, maybe the knife, the arrow was burrowed somewhere in between the neck. We said yesterday that the chalada psul is if it goes, it burrowed through the neck, and it goes inside the neck, and then slices the simanim from being burrowed into the neck, that's not good. Only if it comes from the outside first, and slices them without being covered. So how do you know, when you shot the arrow, it did it in a way that wasn't chalada, that was a clean slice in the front of the neck? So the Gemara says, because chazinan, we saw gidfei de mifparme. We saw, Rashi explains, the notes that shesavav hatzavar, the feathers that were on the neck, that was sliced. So meaning it came from the front of the neck, it didn't come from the side or some other way that would have created a psul of charada. Okay, so that was his very accurate archery hunting, able to shoot a bird in a perfect shechita while it was flying. So the Gemara asks, but there's still another problem. There's a technical problem here. Granted, the shechita was an acceptable shechita, but v'habay kiso, you need kiso yadam. We know when it comes to a chaya and an oaf, you need to do kiso yadam after the shechita, before and after. So Gemara says, v'chitema de mechasile. So perhaps, what do you mean? So after the shechita of the animal flew, it just dropped dead. He went over to the animal and covered up the blood with some dirt. So what was wrong? So Gemara says, v'hamar Rabbi Zera amarav, you have to put the dirt not only on top, but you also have to put the dirt below. So how does he know exactly where the bird's going to... Granted, he had a great, accurate shot that he could kill it in such a way to do a good shechita, but to have the sand, the dirt right below where the bird's going to drop, to have the offer on the bottom ready below, how would he accomplish that the offer is on the bottom? So Gemara says, how do we know again that you have to have afar lamata, afar lamala, shenemar? It says, v'chiseu ba'afar. It says you have to cover bi'afar in the afar, which means afar lo nemar. It doesn't say afar stam, rather it says bi'afar, which is in, has to be completely covered both below and on top. Milami to teach me shesha shochet, tzarech, sheitein ha'ofar, afar lamata, afar lamala. So how is he able to accomplish having afar on the bottom? To which the Gemara answers, the mazmin le la'afar de kula piska, where he had put dirt or sand in the entire valley, the entire area, the field that he was below, he put dirt. And so now he had this big hunting field, and he shot the arrow, and wherever it dropped dead, there was already prepared dirt for kisadam. He ran over to the bird and put the kisadam, the afar, on top. So look at Rashi, 2 days in Rashi, what does it mean, the mazmin le la'afar de kula paska, that he placed dirt in the entire field? Afar kola bika haya masiya vekote. She would chop away the dirt, make it all soft. It has to be afar tichach, it has to be soft dirt. So he had to make it all soft. He went and just chopped the entire field, the whole hunting field, and then he was able to start hunting the birds. Oh, shahaya afar tichach umezamne bepe. It was already soft dirt. He picked a proper field to hunt over. It was already soft, and all he had to do was masmin bepe. This dirt is being designated for the purpose of the afar, for the offer of the kisadam. So the number of questions that come from this Gemara. Number one is whether or not, firstly, do you really need afar tichach or not? So some Rishonim say that you do. The pasuk we said, it says, im yuchal ish limno says afar aretz. If you're able to count the dirt on the ground, that's comparing how many children the Bnei Yisrael is going to have. So that's only true if it's a little piece, if it's crumbled up. If you have a big mound of a thick mud that's just one unit, you could count that. If it's afar kash, if it's hard dirt where it's all connected, that's very easily countable. So it has to be where you chop it up into small little pieces whereby you're not able to count it. It's so many small little particles. That's according to some Rishonim. The Sefer Truma, however, argues and says, no, even if it's hard dirt, even afar kasha would be allowed as well. He doesn't think you have to chop up the dirt. That's point one. Point two comes from this Gemara. Is Rashba says, it seemed from this Gemara, it's usher to do a shechita if there's no dirt that's available. Now, the Gemara had said, oh, great, he could do a great accurate shot and kill it with a shechita, but still, don't you need kisei adam? So Gemara could have said, maybe you don't need kisei adam. Who says that the kisei adam is ma'akev the shechita? So Rashba learned, if there is no offer that's available, you are not allowed to do shechita. It's usher because you're being mevatel the mitzvah of kisei adam. You can't do that.
Still, the question is, if it's tripe or kosher.
But even to good shechita,
you're over but the shechita is still good.
It's still good shechita, but a person should not engage in the shechita if there is no offer that's available. That's the understanding of the Rashba. And other Rishonim say, no, there's apparently a shechita of the goanim that's brought down in the Ramah. If a person shechs and there's no kisadam, he could absorb the blood in a cloth, in his shirt, and when he has dirt available, he could squeeze out the blood and perform kisadam there at some point afterwards. So you are able to do shechita, even though kisadam is not available at that very moment. You could save it for a later time. Part of this always connects all the questions of kisei dam depends on how much is kisei dam a mitzvah bifnei atma, or is it a gemar shechita, or is it a completion of the shechita? It's that process, which is a big discussion we're going to see in the perek kisei hadam. One other last point is that machlokis, where Rashi had this din, that you're mazmin, you have to designate the afer tichach. And most Yishom argue, the mazmin, the afer tichach, what's the point of that? So the Beis Halevi explained that there's a machlokis whether or not the mitzvah of afer tichach, of kisei dam rather, is it only on the top, or is it even the afer lamata? Definitely you need the afer lamata, but is that a tanai, or is that actually a kim in the mitzvah? So Beis Halevi says, Rashi thinks the afer that's lamata is even a kim of the mitzvah, and therefore you need to be mazmin, you have to designate it for the mitzvah. All the other Rishonim who argue and say you don't need to do Azmana because they hold that the bottom afar is not part of the mitzvah. It's a tanai. You have to have it there because that's a tanai in the mitzvah. But to be mazmin, to designate it, to set it aside for that mitzvah, that's unnecessary because it's not really part of the mitzvah. It's again simply a tanai. Okay, let's go right to the Gemara now. Gemara now says two dots around seven lines down. Haya shochid v'hitiz the shochid. He had shechted the animal and he had cut off the head in one full motion. He didn't do holichamevi. He just did it one long way. We said it's good as long as the sakin was the size of mali tzavar, the length of the neck. So Gemara says, what does that mean? Amar Rebbe Zera mali tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar. It means that it's the length of the knife was as long as the neck was, and outside a little bit longer than the tzavar, more. So the neck was, let's say, I don't know, I'm just making numbers, 10 inches, and the knife had to be 11 inches, it seems. So Ibarilu, the Gemara wants to clarify Rabbi Zeira's din here. Mali tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar, kim mali tzavar? Do we say that the chutz, the additional length, has to be the size of a full another neck, so it has to be now 20 inches. The neck of the cow is 10 inches. Again, I could probably completely wrong my numbers, but let's say the neck of the animal is 10 inches and the knife has to be 20 inches then. Davale tre tavare, the length of two necks. Or dilma, perhaps mali tavar v'chutz l'tavar mashu. Maybe it has to be just a little bit longer than the neck. The neck's 10 inches, you could have it 10.1 inches. That's sufficient. So what did Rebbe Zeira mean? So Gemara brings a raya, Tashma, hayashochet v'hitis shnei rashin b'vas achas. If you shech the animal in one full motion, one thrust, you cut two animals, two heads off, in b'vas achas, im yesh b'sakin mali tzavar echad, kasher, if you have the length of one neck, sounds like of 10 inches long, even though you have two necks here, so it's a total of 20 inches, but as long as the knife is 10 inches long, that's sufficient, it's kasher. So my mali tzavar echad, what does it mean, one neck long? Ilem, if it means that mali tzavar echad was too low, if you're going to tell me that the knife is only 10 inches long, but you're really cutting 20 inches worth of two necks here, so Marz says it doesn't make any sense. Hashta bebehema achas. We said when it came to one animal, ba'inan mali tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar, you need to have a neck length plus a little bit more. So now b'shtei behemos, but when it comes to two animals, sagi lehu kimale tavar echad, and nothing more, all you need is just one tavar, but you don't need that extra chutz. If one animal needs 10.5 inches, so certainly two animals, 10 inches wouldn't be sufficient. So what does it mean you need a mali tavar echad for two Russian? The Gemara says, Ela, pshita, it's obvious, mali tavar chutz lishnei tavar. Referring to how much in addition do you need. Mali tavar, you need an extra neck length more than the two necks that are already there. So in other words, when you're cutting two animals at a time, 10 inches for each, that's 20 inches, and you need another 10 inches on top of that, so that's a 30-inch machete to slice off two animals in one thrust. So Shema Amina, bring it back to our case of one animal, we could learn Mali Tzavar, Chutz Tzavar, Shema Amina. That the Chutz Tzavar, the extra length of the knife, has to be a full length of a neck. So if you're cutting one animal whose neck is 10 inches, you have to have a knife that's 20 inches long, twice as long or wide as the neck. The Gemara now says two dots. This whole shaila of how long the knife has to be is only if you're going one direction, either molich or mevi, but one direction only. But if you're going in two directions, back and forth, holich or mevi, you're carving away at the neck of the animal. So then we said you could use even a small little knife, even an Ismael. So Gemara says, Amar v'nashim b'izomel, when it comes to the izomel, this small little knife here, so the din is that she'ein lo karnayim. It's a situation where there are no karnayim, there are no like little, horns at the end. It's Rashi explains, they had some design, I don't know if you have any pictures there, but at the end of the knife there's some like, fancy horn that kind of stuck out that you can't use. It has to be a smooth izomel to be able to use it. So Gemara explains, Amar le Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Avia le Rav Menashe. What happens when it comes to using a mechate? When it comes to be using a needle, are you allowed to use a machte to cut the neck to do a shechita? So Gemara says, "My, what's the din?" Amar le machte is mivaze baze. What's the problem here? So Rashi explained, "Mivza b'baze kishemolech umevi mitoch shuchad hu nokev v'korea v'lo chotech." A needle, you want to use like a tip of the needle to start slicing the neck. It's not a very efficient way to do a shechita. If you want to, says Rashi, it won't work because since it's so pointy at the end here, it's very likely you could puncture a hole in the nekev or the vesha really and make it puzzle, and therefore you're not allowed to use a needle. So then the Gemara says, a machta du shkafe, a different type of needle that's used for leather. So my, I don't know what that looks like, but apparently it's a different type of needle. It's not as much of a concern. So Amar le tanina afilo kosher. We're allowed to, because the Mishnah says you could use an Ismael, regardless, even a small knife is allowed. My lav machta du shkafe, even the needle that's used for leather. Gemara says, lo, Ismael. And Ismael is allowed. Ismael is a tiny knife. It's what's used for a blade for a bris milah usually. It's a blade. A needle is just a point. So I don't know exactly what a machta du shkafe, it's something
in between. It seems that שראשו רחב קצה ומיישרים בו את האור, וצידי הראש מחודדים כדי לחתוך בהם את חוט התפילה. It seems that the part of it has like a knife on the side to cut the thread.
So it's a tip and also a blade together.
Yeah.
It's a combination of a needle and a Ismael. So Gemara says,
some kind of sharp.
But since also the tip is very sharp, it might puncture a hole, in which case Gemara says not to use this. So Gemara says, so what does it mean again, Tanina kol afil kol shu? That's referring to an Ismael, that an Ismael is allowed to be used for a... For Shechita, Gemara says, well, it can be referring to Ismael, because Ismael behed yukatanila, the Mishnah Mefurish explicitly already said Ismael is allowed. So what's being learned extra of a kolshu that had not already been mentioned? To which the Gemara answers, Perusha kamefaresh, it's explaining. My kolshu, when the Mishnah says we allow a field kolshu, even a small knife, what's that kolshu that's being implied? Ismael, that's what the Mishnah tells us. Hachanami mistaver, it's also very sensible to say this, because this hakadaitach machta du shkafi. If you think you're referring to this needle used for leather, hashta machta du shkafi sharia, Ismael mibay. If you establish already that you're allowed to use this needle used for leather, Kal v'chomer, you're allowed to use an Ismael. That's even more obvious. So the Mishnah wouldn't have to mention that separately. It must be then the fact that the Mishnah has to go out of its way to say that an Ismael is permitted indicates that a machta du shkafi, this needle used for leather, is not, in fact, permitted. Mar says that's not a raya. Because it's possible to say Ismael itzirich le. Even had we learned that the machta du shkafi is permitted, there's a havamina that perhaps Ismael was not permitted. Why not? I would have thought ligzar Ismael shein l'karnayim atu Ismael sheyesh l'karnayim kamashma. I would have thought everybody agrees a small blade. If there's some at the end has these little horns coming out, everybody agrees that's not allowed because it might catch the veshet or kana and cause it to be a treifa, and that everybody agrees. So the Gemara says there's a thought that maybe you should ask all types of Ismaels, even those that are smooth, you should ask her, lest someone come to use an Ismael with a karnayim on it, and therefore across the board, low plug, we should ask them. Kamash blan, no. Only the Ismael that actually has karnayim are aser, but if it doesn't have karnayim, then we would allow one to use it for a shechita. So there's no raya again, we don't know in the end of the day, where machta ushkafe, whether it's permitted or not. And the new Mishnah tells us as follows. Nafla sakin, let's say a person holding a knife and it just drops from his hand, the shachta, and it happens to cause a good shechita. Ava pisha shachta, kedarki, even though the shechita was performed correctly, it's psul, it's not going to be good.
Rashi says about karnayim, it's not that it had something coming out of it that made it not smooth. It was a decorative thing, it had these karnayim, but that showed it was very small.
sure it was small. I thought those decorative things came out because it would catch on, it would make it to look nice, but it would end up catching on to the neck.
Look at it.
Rashi says, "Deragilim hayu lasos kimin karnayim lizmilim lenoi to make it look nice." Agabem matan latad rushin towards the head. We talk shukatan maod who nishmat minatzaver. It falls out of the neck. Shuk molechu mevi yesh lachush shema yachalidu asimarim o yinapu oso akarnayim, that the karnayim are going to catch on to the simarim and cause it to rip as opposed to doing a shchita. Okay, the Gemara now, the Mishnah says, Nafla sakin v'shachta, the person dropped the knife accidentally and it happened to cause a good shchita, afal pisha shachta kadarka. It's psula. Why the pasul? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, v'zavachta v'chalta masha tazovech at ocha. You need to do the maisa zvicha. If it dropped, you didn't do any maisa. That was a nefila. That wasn't a zvicha. And for that reason, it's not a good shchita. So the Gemara says, time with the nafla, only because it fell, it dropped. Ha hepila, if you caused it to fall, if you willingly dropped it, you opened your hand and allowed it to drop, hukshar, that's permitted. I mean, if I'm walking and I just slips my hand, that's nafla. If I intentionally just drop it, that's called hipila, that would be permitted. That's what's being implied by the Mishnah. V'yafa gavdil mechavin, even though I didn't have intent for a shchit itself, but I did have intent for it to drop, that mice in the fila I had intent for, but even though I didn't have kavana that perform a shchita, it would be acceptable. You don't need to have kavana for shchita. You have to have kavana for mice, but not necessarily shchita. So Gemara explains, man tana, the lo bainan kavana, l'shchita. Who is the one who holds you don't need to have a kavana for shchita? So Gemara says, Amarava, it's Rebbe Nasan. The tani oshaya zi'ira dimin chavre. Zarek saki l'noasa, you're throwing a knife, a dagger at a wall, bakosel to have it stick in the wall, you're playing darts. And happens to be, there's an animal walking through and you had a perfect hit, it sliced the neck of the animal and it dropped dead, you had a good shchita accidentally. So you had an intent for the zrika, but you didn't have an intent for the shchita. What's the din? So Rabbi Nassan machshir chacham poslim. So we see Rabbi Nassan says it's acceptable because you don't need kavana for shchita. You need kavana for a ma'isa, but you don't need to have kavana for the shchita. Gemara says, "Hu tani leva, hu amar la." He taught this brayse, and he also paskin the halacha k'Rabbi Nassan. We pask like Rabbi Nassan that shchita, in fact, does not need kavana. Gemara then says, "V'ha amar Rava chadazimna." Rava already taught this one time to us that the tanan mekulan sheshachtu, all those people were possible to do a shchita, cheirish, shoten, katan, and so on. The Achayim Rohan El Son and others are watching, observing them doing the ma'isa shchita. Shchita san ksheir, we accept such a shchita. V'amrinan ma'an tana, delo bai kavana l'shchita. Who's the one who holds you don't need kavana? I mean, how can we allow a cheir shot of a katan to do a shchita if they don't have kavana? They don't have the proper das to do a shchita. Even though someone else is watching them, how could we accept this? So it must be because we hold that, ma'an tana, delo bai kavana l'shchita. Amarava, Rabbi Nasani. This is Rabbi Nasani yet again, that you don't need kavana for ma'isa shchita. Meaning the Achayim Rona, so just making sure that the ma'isa was done halachically correct, but they weren't putting in any level of kavana there. That's being done by the cheir shote v'katan, who don't have the ability to have kavana. So in other words, we have two places teaching us the same halacha, that shchita lo bai kavana. So Gemara says, why do you need both places? But tzricha. Diash me'inan hasam, have we only taught that case? Mishum dekach mechavin, l'shem chaticha bi'olam. If you taught that case, which one is it? This is going on? The Achayim Ronasa, that case alone, because there the Cheshav of the Katan had in mind to cut something, they wanted to cut the neck of an animal. In here, you just wanted to drop it. You didn't plan on there being any chaticha at all. You didn't know an animal was going to cross right below your path of you dropping the knife. So there's not even kavana for a ma'isa chaticha. So maybe aim low, this shouldn't work. Kamashmala, no. You at least you had a kavana for a ma'isa to ma'isa hepila. That's enough for it to accomplish a shchita in the end of the day. Now, Iyashmina, if you had the other case, Hacha, we had the case here in the Mishnah, Daf, Lamad Aleph, Mishum Dekasi Mikach Ben Das, it came from a person who's a Bardas. Me, I'm walking, I drop it, so I'm a Bardas. Aval Hasan, the case of Achim Rohanoson, the low Kasi Mikach Ben Das, it doesn't come from a person with Das, the Cheresh Shotav Akatan, they don't have Das. Aim a low, perhaps it wouldn't work. Tricha, even in that case, it works as well. So that's why we need to teach these two dinim in the same din in two different places. Gemara is going to go on a bit of a tangent now to other areas where kavana may not be needed. Gemara says, Itmar, Nida Shenensa V'tavla, a woman who is a Nida, and she was somehow forced into the mikvah, it's a good mikvah. The Gemara, and I'm basically going to explain how she was Nensa. So ignore that for now, but she was Nensa, she somehow fell into the mikvah. Is that going to be good? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Tahora lebesa v'asur lechel b'tshuma. It works legabe her husband. She's permitted to her husband, but she's still tame in regards to eating truma. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar af lebesa lo Torah. It doesn't work even for her husband. Now this is a very important machlokas. It's a question in general. We know that a woman nida, there are two basic ramifications for a woman being a nida. Number one is asur lebaal. She's asur to be with her husband. Number two is she's tame. There's dinam of tuma. Those two are different. But sometimes we have the two of them that are the same. So the Samri Sharm hold that the Tumah and Isser come together. But here from that, that's the Machlokas in the Gemara, it sounds like. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan says you can't divorce the two. They go to hand in hand. You can't have it's a steer, Minei Ubei, to have a Mutter to the husband and a Tumah Lagabe the Truma. They can't split the two up. And Rabbi Yehuda thinks that no, you're allowed to split the two up. And there's a Raya, we can't bring a Raya from Tosos, but Tosos has this idea that you can split up Tuma and Isser. I've discussed this many times before, but Tosos and Baba Kama Daf Test talks about a Sfek Sveka. Situation of a Sfek Sveka, we don't know the status of the woman, whether she's neither or not. It's a double suffix. So Gemara says, well, Sfek Sveka, when it comes to Isurim, we assume it's Mutter. So she's allowed to be a Sfek Sveka Isha, is Mutter to be with husband. But by Dine Tuma, Sfek Sveka Bershisha Yachid is actually Tameh. So what happened is, this woman who's in the case of Sfek Sveka being a Nida, she's mutted to be with her husband, says Tosfos, but she still has a din of Tumah. That's the chilk between Tumah and Isser. That's the first opinion of Rav, that she's Tahor to her husband, but she's Tameh Aser to eat Tumah. And Rav Yochanan thinks, no, you can't separate the two. It's either all or nothing. If she's Tameh, then she's Aser. If she's Tahor, then she's mutter to her husband. And that's what's going on in this Machlokas Amarayim. The Gemara now says, wants to understand further. Amr le Rava, le Rav Nachman, le Rav, the Amar, Torah le Beis, Vasur le Echel, but Shuma. So she's mutter to be with her husband, but she can't eat Shuma. Avon, Karis Hutra, Isser Misumi Bai. So what's the different punishments? For Nida, it's a much more severe punishment. It's Karis, and opposed to Shuma, which is also severe, it's a Chiv Misa, but Chiv Misa, Bidei Shemaim, is a lower level than that of Karis. So if you permit that which is Karis, namely Nida, so certainly you should permit Shuma as well. So Amalei, no, it's not a question of punishment. It's a question of Amalei by lechulin hu v'chulin lo by kavana. The husband is the world of chulin. Chulin doesn't require kavana. So she fell into the mikvah. There's no kavana. That's sufficient. When it comes to truma, which is the world of kachim, so then that more is drawing, but we view it as kachim in many cases. There requires kavana, and that's why we're making the split. Okay, what comes out here is, interestingly, the Ramban says that this question of lo bai kavana, we have two examples in the Gemara. You don't need kavana by shchita, and you don't need kavana by nida now. So he says this is unique because these are two mitzvahs that are hechsha mitzvahs, that are mati or something. They're not mitzvahs b'fnei atzmo. To do a shchita, there's no ki mitzvah. To do a tevila, there's no ki mitzvah. It's a matir to eat. It's a matir to be with one's husband. But it's not a mitzvah itself. So says Ramban, this is not the same question as mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ein tzrichas kavana. When it comes to shaking lulav, that's not a matir. I need to have kavana or not kavana is a different question of being yotze mitzvah than whether or not these mitzvahs are these categories that are simply coming to matir something. That's the chilek that he makes. But there's another Ramban in the Mechemes Hashem. He writes that no, even when he uses mitzvah tzrichas kavana, even by the case of tevila. So one place Ramban says Tevila Mikvah is not about Tzrichas Kavana, and another place he says it is Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. To which the Chassam Sofer explained that even though Tevila Be'etzim is a Matir, there's also an element of a Ki Mitzvah by a Mikvah as well. They're both elements. So it's true that you have to grapple with Kavana by Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, and the Kavana that it's discussing here in the Gemara. I want to make another point. I forgot what the point was. Okay, let's go weiter. Gemara now says, we're three lines up from the bottom here. Menat Teimra Detanan. How do you know that Chulin doesn't require any Kavana? So it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us this Mishnah appears in Maseches Mikvos. What happens is, let's say a Gal Shenitlash, let's say a wave of some sort, a big thing of water came. Ubo Arbaim, so it happens to have 40 saw of water in it, which is the Shiva Mikvah. V'nafal Adam, it falls on top of a person. V'ala Kalim, it falls on top of Kalim. It's Tahorim. It's acceptable. So my lav adam dumi de kalim is it not referring to, we're comparing the case of a person who a wave of water fell on him to a kalim, and ma kalim delo mechavne, the kalim obviously have no das, they don't have intent on water falling on them, and yet the mikvah works. So af adam nami lo bai kavana, so to adam doesn't require kavana. So this is the raya that when it comes to a tevila and a mikvah, you don't require kavana based on the equation of an adam to that of kalim. Gemara says, what do you mean? My, Dilma, Biyoshiv, Metzap, Eskinon, Amasai, perhaps they were sitting there thinking, Amasai, when's it going to happen that Yidlo Shagal, you told Shagal that the Gal, this wave of water is going to fall. They're waiting, they're anticipating this. And the Gemara says, V'kelem dumidadam. And once we establish that it's a person who is waiting for the wave of water to fall on him, so now, ma'adim deba'inan kavana, now we establish that a man actually does require kavana for the mikvah. Av kelem nami dekamechavin lo adam. So to the kelem is a situation where the owner of the kelem is anticipating when the wave is going to come and fall on my kelem. So you actually perhaps do need kavana. There is an arrive from that Mishnah. The Gemara says, V'chitema, V'yoshev, V'matap, V'mayla Meimra. So if it's a situation where the guy's waiting for the wave to fall on him, so what's the chiddush here? Why did you tell me that case? If the guy's waiting and he has the kavana there, and you need kavana, so of course it's going to work. What's the added chiddush here? So Gemara says, Ma'al d'seima, what would I have thought otherwise? Ligzer mishima chardalas shel gishamim. I would have been concerned. Let's say water didn't come from the water from the ocean, the sea, but it came from, let's say, the rain. Came from the rain. It was shot out from some rain, and rain's not going to be good if it's in a Mayim Shuvim. It gets moved to a different place there. So I might say if I allow a wave from the water to fall on me, that works. But I might think if a wave, a puddle, or a big, I don't know, something of rain fell on top of me from a different place, it bounced, ricocheted off a rooftop or something like that, I might think that's good as well, so and that's not good. So maybe they made a gezeira, you should never allow any wave of water to fall on a person because you might extend it to a gshamim. Or inami, or perhaps ligs are Russian, not to keep it. Or maybe, granted that the front of a wave, the head of the wave that first comes on top of a person is good, but a person, let's say he's in the middle of the wave, in that little arch, he's in the center of the wave, that's not acceptable. So maybe you have to make a gzeir across the board. Kamashmalan delo gazrin. So let's just stop for a moment here. What's this case of the Russian and keeping? So the first case, we understand the gzeira. When it comes to rainwater, megishamim, just to make that clear, when a person builds a mikvah, you have to leave a bor, no roof, and the rain has to fall in that place. To transport rain somewhere else, that's not going to be good. That's called mayim shuvim. That's possible. So that's why the rooftop's always open, the rain fills up in the bor, and then you could close everything up, and then you continue to use that water as cleaning the new water that comes in. So, but if you have rainwater that ricocheted off a rooftop, even though it was a 40 saw, if you will, of water that bounced off and got at me, that doesn't work. So the Gemara is saying there's a havamina, since that doesn't work, maybe it should be goes there, or if a wave came from the ocean, that actually would be good. But if we allow me to take a wave from the ocean to work on me, I might think a rainwater that fell on me would also be good, and it's not. That's one reason to assert. Number two is, in the wave itself, look at Rashi, how it explains the Russian versus the Kippin. Rashi says four narrow lines down. Nigs are Russian out to keep him. So what's happening? What's the Russian versus keep him? The Tanah Matbilim Kalim Barosha Gal Hanitlash Minayam. You can be Tovah. If you have like a huge wave that comes in, you could stick your Kali into the tip of that wave, and it's good. Bahalach Lemirachal Kubala Arit, and it goes to the to the sea, to the shore rather. Nichnas Adam Takas Rosho Mekablo to have a Tvila Zub Mechub LeKarka. So if I standing at the end where the wave crashes down on me, so I'm on the ground, and I 40 sud all works. But however, ain matbilin bekeepin, the keepin is the keeper, like the dome. So he says, Shelo Yisro Kalim bekeepin agab, but put it in the archway, that doesn't work. The hainu bem tziusu, in the middle, shu also keepo, that dome that's being made, that doesn't work. Why? The time of kimefarish bin pnei shuk tevilas avir vein matbilin ba'avir. You're dipping in the airspace. Tevila is the mikvah. It doesn't work when it's flying in the air. When it crashes down on me at the end on the rosh, it's already connected to the ground. That's considered already mechuba lekarka. That works. But to put it in the center of that arch, that's avir, and that's going to be possible. Even if it's touching. It's a good question. If it's all fell,
the main issue is that it has to be the tefillah at the exact spot where it's falling right on the ground.
But he's asking, let's say it's on the ground. Let's say it's a huge a wave. So it's now the end hit the ground there, and that's still in the middle of the air. But it's all connected, though. I assume that's all considered mechuba lekarka. But it's talking about when it's in the air, so it hasn't yet fallen.
Sure, because here it says that the problem with the mega shaman is that they're on a slope.
That's
according to our scroll, the case of the megashamim that are not.
But this is a different problem. He's not saying megashamim. This is because it's in the avir. It's in the airspace. You're saying maybe
but
the slope.
It's the slope. They're also connected, and it's possible. Meaning when you have megashamim that are falling on a slope, they are connected to where they end up on the bottom anyway. But they have to be falling.
That's my issue.
That's what I thought also.
Right.
here is the wave disconnected from the ocean.
From the ocean.
And it's flying in the air.
Right.
And you can't stick the kli into that water that's in the air. It has to be somewhere in the mikvos, that it has to be water that's
mechuber.
Connected to that. It has to be mechuber.
Right, so what he's saying is, let's say part of the water is already mechuber, and the other one is still flying.
Right, so that he said might be good.
Yeah. I think it might be good, right.
It might be good.
The Russian, when there's a Rosh, the other end must still be connected.
Right.
Keeping is when the entire water
exactly.
is floating in the air.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think if it's a long wave where the bomb's connected, even that part which is in the air, since it's still connected, I would imagine. But again, who knows?
Sounds to me that it's detached. They're both detached. It's just a question of whether you got the middle air pocket or whether you got the head of it.
Well, that's how I read Rashi. But
air pocket
is
obvious, because it's not.
Yeah, why is Rashi saying the obvious? When he says tefillas avir, does Rashi mean that you actually never put the kli in the water?
Mm-hmm. So, but the case of Rashi has to be where it's connected to the ground. It has to be where it landed. No. No?
That says detached wave. He was waiting for the detached wave.
But he says, Rashi tahavi tefillah zu b'mechub l'karka. But he said, tahavi, the end of Rashi, tahavi tefillah zu b'mechub l'karka.
Right.
So it landed. Alright, okay. Either way, Tosis says the psul of keeping is a psul deraisa, but why do you look in the phonology lesson afterwards and you find out?
There's one little thing here, it says that the kli is on the floor when the head hits it. If it's in the arch, the kli is not on the floor.
It's because of kli being in the...
That's what it says in the English.
Uh-huh.
It definitely says here in like 7 different places that the case we're talking about the wave is it became detached. The strong tide of wave that broke away.
So that's fine detached. If it's detached. That's okay if it's detached. The question is when it came, did it land? Did it land to become a good mikvah or not? Rashi says mechuber l'karka. All right, anyway, let's go by it.
Oh, you're saying that the detached thing that hit the...
Landed. Right,
but it's no longer attached to the sea.
Right, that makes a difference or not.
No,
right.
That we all agree.
The water, the person, kli, and the ground must all be mechuber in some fashion.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It hit the shore.
Exactly.
It came detached.
Right.
Right. Okay, Gemara now says, we're at 5 lines down. Minot Tamer, how do you know? Dilo matbilin bekeepin, that you're not able to be matbilin bekeepin in this archway. The Mishnah tells us explicitly, matbilin berashin, vein matbilin bekeepin, shei matbilin be'avir. You can't do mikvahs, the mikvahs have to be mechuber, they can't be flying mikvahs. Elachulin dilo by kavana mia. So when it comes to chulin, going back to chulin for a moment, how do you know that you don't need kavana when it comes to chulin? So, Minalan, how do you know? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us that Perush Naflu Tocha Amasamayim. He had some fruit that fell into a little water channel. Upashit Mishiyadav Tameos Vinalan. And a person whose hands were Tame put his hand inside the water to retrieve the Peros. So, Lach is Yadav Taros Uperos Eno Bechayutam. His hand become Tower. Since he did a Mice in a Tila, even though he didn't intend on becoming Tower, but he did intend in going to the water, that was a Mice in a Tila, so therefore his hand is Tower. But the Peros are not Mechayutam. We know when Peros have to become Mukhshar La Tuma, they have to come into contact with one of the 7 liquids, one of which, of course, is water, but it has to be intentional. You have to have wanted the fruit to become wet. Since you didn't want the fruit to fall into the Amas HaMayim, it just fell, that's not called B'chiyutan, and that's not going to be Hukshel Tumah just yet. So the Gemara says, and now, V'im B'shvil Yudchu, if you put the fruit in the water to make them, to wash them, meaning you did have intent on them getting wet, Yad of Taurus, both your hands would become Taur, it's a good Netila for your hand, it would perish B'chiyutan, and the fruit would also become Hukshel, it's the Chiyutan, you wanted to become wet. We see from here that Yadayim we're talking about, which are chulin, the hands are going to be tower, even though you didn't intend on being matar them, you only intended on just putting them in the water to get the fruit, that's enough to make your hands tower, because chulin lo bai kavadim. Ask the Gemara now, Aseve Ravel Rav Nachman, Tava l'chulin v'huchsak l'chulin. So let's say a person did a tvila dafk to become mutter to eat chulin. The person who was makbid on eating chulin betara. So he did a tvila to eat chulin. V'huchsak l'chulin v'asa l'maiser. So now he's huchsak l'chulin, meaning he had intent for chulin, but he's not allowed to eat maiser. You have to, when it comes to the mikvahs, you have to have kavana for what you're going to eat. So you have a kavana for ma'aser, you didn't have kavana for chuma. It works for ma'aser, it doesn't work for chuma. So here you had kavana for huchsak l'chulin, but it doesn't work for the ma'aser. So Gemara says, huchsak in, lo huchsak lo. Only because a person, Rashi explains, was niskaven. He had huchsak means he had kavana for chulin, doesn't work. But if he had no kavana, he won't even be tower from eating the chulin. So we see chulin does require kavana. Gemara says, no, hacha kamar, afa pisha huchsak lechulin, as lemais. It's saying, even if you had ha kavana for chulin, there's a havamina, that kavana may be sufficient for meiser, telling us it doesn't work for meiser. But ena chanami, you do not need kavana at all when it comes to chulin in the very first place. Esve, Gemara asks another question. Tava v'lo huchsak, ki lo tava. I'm not sure Rashi did that. I think it's another way to interpret the word, but in terms of the etymology, I don't know. Not sure.
This chutzuk is almost like an after the fact. He didn't have kavanah what he did.
So right.
It was just chutzuk. Oh, yeah, you're right. I went for a swim.
Right. I'm not sure. Yeah. So then the Gemara says, Tava v'lo huchzak kilo tavel. The guy went to the mikvah, v'lo huchzak, and he didn't have any kavanah. So then the Gemara says, it's not a good lo kilo lo tavel klal. He didn't do any tevila. My lav kilo lo tavel klal. That doesn't work for anything. It doesn't even work for chulin. Meaning if you have no kavanah, it doesn't work for chulin. Chulin does require huchzak. It does require kavanah. Gemara says, no, lo kilo lo tavel lemaiser. It's as if you didn't tovel for maiser purposes, aval tavel lechulin. It did work for chulin because you don't need kavanah when it comes to tefillah lechulin. So Gemara says, who suffered dichuya komed chila? He thought he was just kind of rejecting. He didn't really like that response so much. So what happened? Nafik duck v'ashchi. He went to do a little research and wanted to find a more explicit source that chulin doesn't require kavanah. And he found it. That Sani, the Braisa, tells us, tava v'lo huchzak mutter lechulin. There we go. He had tevila and there's no kavanah. Clear Braisa, he's mutter lechulin. Chulin doesn't require kavanah, but it's aser lemaisi. He's still not able to partake in maiser. So Amalei Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Lema tebe tiyuf to the Rav Yochanan meha. Let's say that this is a Braisa that's against Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's only Amora. Rav Yochanan said that a nida shenensa, it doesn't work even for the Baisa, for her Baila. It doesn't work for Chulin, because Rabbi Yochanan felt that even Lechulin does require Kavanah. So this is a Baisa, that should be a Tiyuf to Rabbi Yochanan. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hu damar kribi Yonasan ben Yosef. Rabbi Yochanan says, I agree that Baisa says Yoni Kavanah. I hold like a different Tana who does require Kavanah for Chulin. Who is that? That's Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, Desani, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Omer. It says in the Pasuk with regards to Taras, it says Vechubas, it says the Pasuk Vechubas after the different stages of a Tara, of a Taras, so it says Vechubas. It says twice in the Pasuk Tichabes, and then it says again Vechubas later on. So Matam Alomar Shenis, why does it say Chubas the second time? To wash the clothing twice? So Makish Tachboses Shnia, the Tachboses Rishona, to connect it the first time. Why? Ma Tachboses Rishona, you have to do a Kavisa two different times. One is before the final checking of the Kohen, and one's after the process of being Tahor. You need one final washing of the clothing. So what's the connection of the second one to the first one? So Gemara says, Ma Tachboses Rishona Ladas, you have to have Kavana when it comes to the first round of washing the clothing, because it says in the Pasuk, Vitziva Kohen V'chibsu, the Kohen tells you need to wash it. So it's a mitzvah. You have to have kavanah for the mitzvah of the first round of washing. So too, af tachboses shnia, even after you're ready tahor, and it's now just a regular washing of clothing for chulin purposes, shnia has to be ladas. So this is the source of Yonasan ben Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, that even that which is stam chulin requires, this is called kvisa, we're comparing tevila and kvisa together, that requires das, it requires kavanah. So then the Gemara says, well, this is more parenthetical, imalahalam bainan das kohen, just like the first round of washing, if the kohen gave a tzava, and it came with the das of the kohen, not only the das of the owner, the baal himself, but even the das of the kohen was needed for the first tachboses, afkan bainan das kohen, perhaps the tachboses shniyah. The second round of washing clothing also requires the awareness, the das of the kohen, tamalomer, no, v'tahar mikol makom, the second round of washing is tahar, you don't need any input of the kohen, it's enough to simply just do it on your own, with your own das, well, that's already late. Marna asks, Maskevla Rav Shimei Bar Ashi Umiya, Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say this, that the Tefillah Lechulin doesn't require, rather does require das? V'hamer Rabbi Yochanan, does Rabbi Yochanan teach us the halacha k'stam mishnah? We pass like a stam mishnah. That's his klal throughout Shas. So what does the stam mishnah tell us? On daf lamin aleph, amin aleph, or arsugya, tznan, nafla sakin v'shachta. A person dropped a knife and happened to perform a good shchita, afa pisha shachta kedarka, it's psula, it's pasul. And the Gemara was medayik. We saw this in Amun Aleph. Time of the Nafla, only because it dropped unintentionally. Hahi Pila, had he caused it to drop, share, that would have been good. Even though there's no Kavana, so we see when it comes to Inyani Chulin, you don't need Kavana. So how come Rabbi Yochanan says, by Mikvaos for Chulin, you do require Kavana? So Aminan, Man Tana Dilabai Kavana, L'shchita, who's the one who holds Shchita, doesn't require Kavana? Amarava, Rabbi Nasan. That's Rabbi Nasan. So the Gemara says, "Bishchita afilu Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Even he agrees. Meaning, Baira Mikvaos, Rabbi Yonasan Ben Yosef, and Rabbi Yochanan along with him says that you do require Kavana, but Shchita, they agree you don't need Kavana. Why not? Because Midigali Rachmana, from the fact that the Torah tells us, Misasik Bekachim. Misasik is when a person is just cutting things, not Kavana. Misasik is Bekachim is puzzle, that implies Bechla de Chulin low by Kavana. When it comes to Shechting regular Chulin, you don't require Kavana. So that's a special Gzeres HaKasuv, that Shchita's Chulin doesn't require Kavana. When it comes to the world of Mikvos and Tevila, that's where there's Machlokas, whether you need Kavana or not. Rabbanan say back, Nihi delo ba'inan kavana lezvicha bilchaticha ba'inan. Which Rabbanan is this? Again, this is the one who argued with Rabbanan. Rabbanan said that Hippilu is good. Rabbanan on Amr Aleph said Hippilu is not good. How is it not good? Because Rabbanan hold, granted you don't need kavana. Everybody agrees you don't need kavana by shchitas chulin because it says misasik is pater by kachim, implying misasik by chulin is good. So how come they argue by hippilu? Because granted, the lo bainin kavana lezvicha, but lechaticha bainin. You need to have a maisa chaticha. A maisa hippila, that's not a maisa. Dropping a knife from your hand, that's not a maisa at all. You need to have a maisa of cutting something, and even though you didn't have intent on shchita, that's acceptable. But it has to at least be a maisa chaticha, kavana lechita, according to the Rabbanim. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Baha Zikenu Rabbi Nasan Rabbanan. This debate between Rabbi Nasan and Rabbanan, this is how Rabbi Nasan defeated him. How? Had they defeated Rabbanan? Miksiv v'chatachta v'zavachta ksiv. It doesn't say v'chatachta, you should cut it. V'zavachta means a zvicha, it means a shchita. So what's the raya? Iba'inan kavana l'chaticha afila zvicha nami l'bay. If Rabbanan, since the pasuk uses the word zavachta, that's the most important thing. Zvicha is what we care about. We don't care about chaticha. So if you're telling me that chaticha needs kavana, then you have to say zvicha really needs kavana, because that's what the pasuk emphasizes, zavachta. But ilo ba'ina kavana lezvicha, if you're going to tell me that zvicha, the shchita, doesn't require kavana, which is again the most important part of the pasuk, the chaticha nami lo libay. So certainly, that which is less important, the chaticha, certainly does not require kavana. And that way, apparently, Rabbi Nelson had defeated Rabban in that debate. We'll stop here. The last few lines you can do if you want on Hechidami Nida Shinensa. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day.